It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
You're listening to Healthy Mind Matters, brought to you by Intermountain Healthcare on KSL News Radio.
Thank you for joining us for Healthy Mind Matters. I'm Maria Chaleos. Today we are talking about a bold initiative from Primary Children's Hospital to enhance mental and behavioral health services for children and teenagers. With me this morning, Katie Welke, who is the CEO of Primary Children's Hospital and Vice President of Intermountain Children's Health, and Julie and Greg Cook, who are the founding executives of doTERRA Essential Oils and a member of Primary Children's Hospital's Governing Board. And thanks to all of you again for being here. Katie, please begin and talk about how you hope to expand services. What exactly do you hope to expand and how do you hope to reach people?
So there's a number of ways. I don't think you can only do one thing, but we're going to create a call center, but it's much more than a call center. It's a virtual assessment, referral, and consultation service. And it's, I think it goes directly to the point that Julie and Greg were talking about. And that is, as a parent, when a child is in crisis, you want help and you want the right type of help. So this is a phone number that a parent, a child, a physician can call. And there are behavioral health experts on the other end of the line who can very quickly do an assessment to understand where the child needs to go. So they'll actually do a sort of a triage function to identify what level of care a child needs, and then make sure that there's a handoff to get that consultation done. And they can actually provide services, crisis stabilization services, right there on the phone if necessary, but then make sure the child gets the right level of care. And that's so important. Just like in a normal hospital where you have a medical surgical floor, like the med-surg beds, and then in an ICU and outpatient care, the same thing exists in behavioral health. And for some kids, they need consultation just in a clinic visit. Other kids need day treatment or intensive outpatient treatment. And some kids are in a place where they really need to go into the intensive care or the inpatient unit. And this assessment, referral, and consultation service will make sure that we get kids to the right place at the right time and that right level of care.
Greg and Julie, you've talked with me about this before and the importance of making sure that parents know they're not alone. Because when you are in a situation like this, it is very dramatic, very frightening, and boy, really knowing what resources are available to you is really an important thing.
It is. Getting people that are particularly in crisis mode to the help that they need is, you know, our first priority. And that's what we can do as parents. That's what we can do as friends, is be aware of what's happening around us, pay attention to the needs of others who may be in crisis without our even knowing it, and to intervene and to ask, you know, the hard questions, the sensitive questions. You know, are you planning on doing something to harm yourself? And if the answer is yes, then immediately into some care. And us as parents, it's tough. You know, kids are being exposed to, we used to be able to insulate our kids from fear and anxieties of the world, but it's not happening anymore. They have direct access to all of the concerns and dangers that our world is projecting on directly onto them. And so we as parents have, you know, a more difficult job than ever before. And we've seen it with our five kids as they've come home from schools with stories, and as they've read stories on social media that we would never otherwise give them access to. And they come home with friends having taken their life, or even teachers taking their lives. It's something that we as parents are really struggling to deal with oftentimes.
Yeah, and just like Katie was talking about, with a number that everyone knows to call and that will assess in the right way, so that there are different levels. And I think we kind of, in the past, it felt like there was, if parents knew that there was a problem with their child and they couldn't get into therapy or something that way, then it would become an acute state, and then they would end up in the emergency room, and then things kind of spiraled out of their control. Where hopefully with this new triage line and the new number that parents can call, there can be intervention at earlier states so that it doesn't reach that acute level. And then parents are given the tools that they need so that they can help their kids before it ever gets to that level. And then we as a community can band together in those situations to help where there is a need.
Right. Katie, this is such an important point, because I just don't think that parents in the past really have known where to turn, and there really wasn't a place for them to turn.
I think you are so spot on. I couldn't tell the story any better than Julie just did. Is we really want to make sure that there is increased access for families so that it doesn't have to get to that crisis point, that you can call early, get help early. And you're right, people didn't know where to turn. And I mean, the stories I heard from family members, in almost every encounter, of going from, literally on the phone for hours, calling person after person after person, trying to get help and not being able to get the help that they needed for their child. And I think ultimately just going to the emergency department, which is not the right place for a child who is in crisis. I mean, it's a chaotic environment, and they'll help, but it's really not the ideal situation. I also am really excited about the use of telehealth, because that's something that's another part of this program, is increasing the opportunity for kids to use telehealth for conversations. And some kids would prefer, they feel more comfortable having their counseling sessions over their phone. And so with Julie and Greg's incredible support, we're going to be able to expand the access of behavioral health through telehealth.
I want to talk more about that in the next segment, but I can see where they'd be more comfortable. They're so used to being on their computers or talking to their friends on their phone that it's not the doctor's office, right? They're sitting in the comfort of their own home. I'm sure that they're not nearly as intimidated as they are when they're in an actual office and have kind of feel like they're kind of under the microscope, right? So let's talk more about that when we come back. And you were listening to Healthy Mind Matters on KSL News Radio.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. And this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.